You know you're forgiven. Keith has wonderfully reminded us. In confession, we've been affirmed again that we are forgiven, that there is no guilt. And yet, even sort of 5 minutes later, there can be that voice in our head, that there can be that feeling in our hearts. So it's how do we live in the truth that I think we need to grapple with this morning. But let's start with the reality. I wonder how you do guilt. The reason is I ask because we all do it differently. There isn't one size fits all. Here's a little scenario for you. Some of you, it'll leave you completely cold. For others of you, you'll probably be right in it and you'll feel terrible just for this fictitious story. Someone in Biddulph has a 40th birthday party. They organise a party on a pleasure cruiser at Liverpool Docks. A group of friends get together and they say, let's hire a minibus taxi, so we can have a couple of drinks. Just a couple. Disaster strikes. On the way, the minibus breaks down. And it turns out that the very cheap operator was very cheap because he cuts corners on things like breakdown. They rig up the birthday girl. They can't hold the boat or have the other 80 guests waiting around. So they've literally missed the boat. They're gutted. And she is gutted. She has been planning this for years. She sent out little reminders 2 years in advance saying, keep this date free. She's a lady who doesn't do parties, making a big scene of herself. And she somehow plucked up the courage on her 40th birthday party to invite everyone to this party. And to make it worse, the birthday girl's closest friend, her childhood friend, her maid of honour, is stood on the motorway's hard shoulder in the party. But how does each person feel about letting down the birthday girl? Well, there are going to be completely different levels of guilt. Some will feel terrible. They'll automatically just go off the deep end. That's their makeup, to really feel the weight of how badly they've let down their friend. Others are a bit annoying, because they just seem to be able to shrug it off. It's one of those things, and, you know, they're not happy about it, but that's life. And then a complete range in between. Some will have history. They've let this friend down before. So the guilt weighs heavier. Others feel slightly smug and relieved because it's their first offence. They don't have that baggage to bring into the situation. What about the poor person who found the cheap mini taxi? He was so pleased with himself. He got a cracking deal for his friends. He was doing everyone a favour. And now everyone is either blanking him or giving him icy stares, or even worse, they're being nice to him. And he just feels terrible. And then what about the best friend? She has been there by her friend's side in every situation. Every fight and scrape at school, she was there with her friend. Every boyfriend breakup, every angst, she has been there. And now she's stood on the motorway hard shoulder, stuck. And she knows her friend is gutted, is disappointed. What am I getting at here? Well, there are just so many factors to guilt. Brain chemistry. Some of us, when given the opportunity to feel guilty, run with it. Others Don't. Tiredness. If you're in that place where you're sort of emotionally ready to face guilt, you face it a whole lot better than when you're tired and run down and you've had a day from hell. That's a reality, isn't it? Circumstances. In my household, even whether you've had enough breakfast can be a factor. I'm not going to say who that relates to. For some people, guilt can be paralysing, while for others, it's just something you swallow down, ignore and move on. I think naturally, in predisposition, I'm more that approach. Naturally, I'm not the best at saying sorry. When I'm wrong, I don't immediately, sadly, feel the compulsion to make it right quickly. I don't feel the weight of guilt. But I know others who are completely the opposite. I guess for me, the reality is that I do have little thoughts and moments, though. I have childhood flashbacks where I got something wrong, or I let someone down, or I disappointed my parents, and even now at 37, periodically, just from nowhere, that horrible thought comes back, that guilt, and I swallow it back down, and I move on. But I have a number of friends who are the complete opposite end of the spectrum from me. One friend said this to me last year. He's on the fringe of church where I was before. And he said this: the thing about church is I find it is bad for my mental health. And you're like, okay, I can understand that. For what reason? I struggle with bouts of depression, he continues. And you lot, that's us, although he was one of our lot as well, you lot insist on telling me how bad I am every Sunday before I've barely sat down. Do you know what he's talking about? About confession. To individuals, when I say confession, I have to think about where I might have got things wrong. It's good for me. When he says the confession, he immediately goes on a journey of self-loathing and criticism. And I hear the absolution and delight in it. He doesn't hear it. He doesn't receive it in the way that I do. For me, confession is it's a health check for me. For him, it's a weekly beating up that he never recovers from in the rest of the service. He's just guilty and condemned. For me, when I make a mistake, sometimes I too easily move on. For him, the guilt just piles on. It's suffocating and controlling. So where is Jesus in all this? Well, Keith has already reminded us where he is. But let's look at our Bible reading. If you've got our weekly welcome sheet, you'll have it in front of you. It'd be really good for you to sort of have it there to follow it through as we explore the journey. I don't know about you, but I wonder if for some of you, after hearing our Bible reading, you might think that my friend has a point. Hell and damnation, sin, guilt, the wagging finger of judgment. It's probably tragically what many people think church is all about. Let's be honest, John the Baptist isn't doing the soft sell here, is he? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Watch out, God is going to take an axe to you and throw you into the fire. They're not the words that thankfully our welcomers use to us as we come into church, are they? Please reassure me they're not. No? Okay, yes. First thing we need to note is that John was speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were coming out to oppose him and suss him out, not to heed his message. There was an agenda there that he was hitting. These were not people who struggled with guilt. They were people who thought that they were the bee's knees and actually went around telling everyone else why they were guilty. So we need to hear that. That's a specific audience. And the second, more important thing is this, that it's only half John's message. If you're a doctor, there is no nice way, no easy way to say to someone that they've got cancer. But then you go on to explain the treatment, to speak into the horrible reality, hope. John is telling the people that they are seriously sick, that they are on the wrong track, that they need to get right with God. But then he offers the hope, the treatment. Large and small, we don't need to be reminded of the things that weigh on our consciences, the things that we feel guilty about. I don't need to pull that out from you. They're there. We know that we can struggle with guilt, whether we put a brave face on it, whether we show it, whether it's an occasional thing or whether it's almost a every minute of every day thing. We all struggle with guilt. Probably as I'm speaking, there are things on your mind. For some of you, they're massive. They haunt you. For others, you probably can't remember what it's like to just not be guilty. Kind of feeling guilty is just life. That's how you live, that's who you are. So what is the cure? What is the treatment? How do we get round the fact that we do get things wrong? We do have regrets. That is our human existence. How do we get round the fact that others want us to make us feel guilty, whether there's something in it or not, that they put stuff upon us? How do we get round the fact that we make ourselves feel guilty too, that we hold our past against us, that we bring up things in our lives? If we're sick with guilt, what is the treatment? What's the way out? Well, it's a big, scary, churchy word called repentance. But it isn't big or scary. It's actually simple and wonderfully life-changing. And it basically means ask for help to make a change. What's the cure for guilt? Say you're sorry and in God's grace move on. Repentance means literally do a U-turn. It's sort of Sergeant Major, about turn. It's turn round, change. Change your direction. I want to highlight the difference between guilt and repentance. Guilt says, you've made your bed, now lie in it forever, feeling rubbish. That's what guilt says. It says you're stuck, you're trapped, you're rubbish, you've let people down, you can never move on. You're guilty. Repentance says something completely different, and I want you to hear clearly that difference. Repentance says you've got it wrong. You may have got it horribly wrong, but you can be forgiven by God. And you can make the change. You can be free. You can move on. Can you hear the difference? One, you're stuck. The other, you're free. Guilt wants to hold you, to paralyze you, to trap you. Repentance will release you, will free you, enable you to move on and to make a fresh start. And now the really big scary question for me as the humble preacher. How? John's prescription was to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 11. Say sorry, admit there is a fault, and ask for God's help. Ask for his empowering. Who has the power and the authority to free you from guilt? Only Jesus. And that's where John the Baptist has to pass on the baton. He can diagnose the problem. He can suggest the treatment. But it's only Jesus who can make that change happen. John said this, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He spoke of his cousin. He spoke of Jesus Christ. How can we be free from guilt? How can we change? The answer is the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. How can our souls be at rest? How can we be at peace in our lives? How can we make a fresh start? It's through receiving Jesus. At the cross, Jesus did all that needed to be done to take away all our sin and shame. Even the things that can never be fixed, that can never be put right in this lifetime. Jesus has taken our guilt. Yes, there'll always be remorse. There'll always be consequences. But your soul can be at peace that because of Jesus, you are free from guilt. And more than that, he's made a way possible for us to know God's love. When we question our worth, when others make us feel rubbish, when we in ourselves pull ourselves down and criticize ourselves and feel guilty, Jesus tells us that we are loved. I'm going to say something now that is going to make some of you feel guilty. There's an irony in that, isn't there? Christians shouldn't be trapped in guilt. Christians shouldn't be trapped in guilt. And if I say that, some of you are feeling guilty for being guilty. But many of us do struggle with it. That's the reality. That's the honest truth. There's the accuser. Satan, that voice that constantly throws our mistakes and regrets and inadequacies against us. There's the consequences, the broken relationships, the clocks that can't be turned back. But the reality is that for all who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have put their faith and trust in him, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Let me remind you of who we are. As Christians, whether we feel like it or not, we are a redeemed people. We're a rescued people. We're a forgiven people. We're a restored people. But because of Jesus, we are not a guilty people. But it's one thing to know that up here in our mind. And it's another thing to know that in our hearts. It's one thing to know that sort of academically. It's another thing to know that in your heart. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because in God's grace, God comes in and confirms that truth. Your mind may be saying you're guilty. Your heart may feel guilty. My encouragement to you would be to remind yourself that Jesus says you are not guilty. And my suggested prayer to you would be to ask him to send his Holy Spirit to affirm in you, to experience afresh in you that you are forgiven. The gift of repentance is love. Love that was revealed at the cross. When you feel guilty, remind yourself that you are loved by God. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. No subclauses that just apply to you. No exceptions. Because of the cross, you are loved. You are forgiven. And pray that Jesus would send his Holy Spirit to confirm in you afresh, in the very core of your being, in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, that you are loved, forgiven, and free from guilt. And I know even now that for some of you, there's still that voice that is saying, this doesn't apply to you. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. For some of you, this will be a very distant memory. For some of you, it will be closer. It's that prayer that along the lines of, there are different variations on it. It's that prayer that you first said when you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour. And I'm going to encourage you that as I pray it afresh, that you pray it afresh. And that you ask Jesus to send his Holy Spirit, that you can live in the reality of it. That you can know the truth of it. For some of you, maybe, you might not have ever prayed this prayer. Or you may not have connected with it in the way that you'll connect with it this morning. But it's a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer of freedom and life and joy. And there is no guilt. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.